What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. And in today's episode, I'm joined with one of Maxine's top 10 finalists, Monique Marnie. Monique, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Monique, I'm excited to spend a little bit of time chatting to you about your experiences with the challenge. But Monique, would you like to start by introducing yourself, maybe telling us where you're from, you know, what you do, and who is Monique?
Sure. Well, I am 44 years age. I'm married to my high school sweetheart. So we've been together now for 28 Christmases. We just worked out last Chrissy. We have two beautiful girls who are teenagers now, so 14 and 15 years of age. I work nearly full time, probably about 30 to 35 hours a week. And I'm a foundation manager. And what my role is I find families. So basically our mission for our foundation, we support families from rural and regional parts of Australia that have been struck with difficult times. So things like accidents that may have happened out on a property or a medical issue, basically anything that has turned their lives upside down. So that keeps me quite busy. I also live here up on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland. So we have a little bit of acreage about 15 minutes from the beach. So we love where we live. It's a beautiful place, but we are a bit of a drive from shops and from gyms. So it was really important to me to ensure that I could do my workouts and stuff at home, because if I have to jump in the car and head to a gym, it just doesn't happen for me where I live. So that's probably me in a bit of a nutshell.
I love it. Lots of things that we can unpack in a couple of moments. But Monique, you know, the first question to you is all about why. So could you speak to us and tell us a little bit of a story about why you chose to begin the Maxine's Challenge?
Yeah, definitely. Well, there's probably a number of reasons, like everyone else probably out there, but I had one of those moments in looking in the mirror and didn't like, you know, the person staring back at me and thinking to myself, if I don't do something now, at the age of 44, you know, I'll be in my 50s and my 60s and I'll still be struggling with the things that I'm struggling with. And in my family's history, we have, you know, weight issues, we have cancer, we have diabetes, we have arthritis, we have all these things that if I kept heading down the path I was heading down, you know, that would have been me. I thought, no, I have to make this change. And so that's what I did. And of course, you know, having two girls and being a female myself, my girls are females, I needed to be that role model for them. And I think all parents want, you know, to be that great role model. And you know, you speak to your children about being confident people and amazing human beings. And, you know, you give them words of advice. But at the same time, words are only words. And I felt like I wasn't practicing what I was preaching with them. So I was telling them to live a healthy lifestyle and to eat well and to exercise and to, you know, be kind to yourself and build your self-worth. But I really wasn't doing it myself. So I really needed to wake up and go, you know what, I need to be that role model for them. So hence, that's what I did. And of course, I saw one of my Facebook friends do the September challenge, and she posted these amazing pictures of not only herself, but also the food she was eating and preparing. And I'm like, hang on a sec, that cannot be, you know, a challenge. That cannot be food she's losing weight on. And so I found out more, and one thing led to another, and I signed up for the September challenge. But I had to have my family on board because, you know, my husband, we like to sit down in the evenings and eat a little bit of chocolate or have a glass of wine. And I knew if I didn't have him on board, then I would be just going back to my old habits. And so I convinced him to also sign up for the Max's Challenge, and he did, which was great. Unfortunately, though, he actually had to stop exercising at week four because he has a back injury that constantly sort of comes back on him. So he stopped exercising, but he said, you know, I'm going to be all on board still with nutrition and we'll do this together. So he did. And even though he didn't finalize the challenge, he still lost 8 kilos, which was an amazing result for someone that wasn't exercising. So food has a huge amount to do with it. So yeah, so lots of reasons. Sorry, I kind of got off the track there a little bit. But yeah, there was lots of reasons that led me to change my lifestyle and become a healthier and fitter person and obviously get my mind in the right frame of mind. So yeah.
Wow, that's an amazing story and lots to unpack. Speak to me a little bit about your family environment. So you said that, you know, you wanted to do the challenge to be a role model to your teenage daughters, and your husband was involved. He had a little bit of injuries in his lower back, but then was still being part of the nutrition aspect of it. And I think for me, I love the idea of inspiring the next generation of people to prioritize their fitness and health. Okay. And I want to speak a little bit about your teenage daughters. So can you speak now about maybe what the family dynamic was like? Did you find that your daughters were wanting to start eating healthy with you, or wanting to exercise with you, maybe like at home, or being more physically active, such as going for walks and such? Can you speak a little bit about how maybe the attitude around the house slowly shifted throughout the challenge in prioritizing good food and prioritizing exercise and movement, especially with all the things that were happening over like that 2020 COVID period and all the dramas with that? So can you speak a little bit about that home environment?
Yeah, certainly. It was a bit of a challenging time, and I guess it still is a challenging time in terms of COVID. We all don't know what's around the corner. But with my family, I needed them on board to support me, but also to hopefully make this lifestyle change for good. So with my girls, yeah, it was great because they used to come into the kitchen and go, "Oh, Mum, what are you making now?" And I'd be putting this creative dish together, obviously following the plan. But that's the great thing about the Maxine's Challenge. It's all there. It tells you sort of what to use in terms of protein, carbs, and your veggies and things. But you can be as creative as possible with that basic plan. So I started researching different meals and recipes, and they used to get involved. They'd hop in the kitchen and help me cook. And I've got one fussy eater. So my youngest is the fussy eater, and we were putting things in front of her and we were saying, you know, come on, try it, coaching her. And she'd try that, and she'd be amazed at some of the foods that we'd prepare. So don't think, I guess if anyone's listening, you know, don't think that the challenge has to be plain and boring in terms of food. It can be as amazing as you want it to be. And using beautiful fresh herbs and natural yogurts and lemon juice and all that kind of stuff to make your meals tastier. Yeah, it was really, really good. But I certainly got their backing and got them inspired to do more. My oldest, Taylor, she actually did come into the gym quite a few times and wanted to see what I was doing and working out. So, yeah, and we are a fairly active family in terms of we love going camping and outdoors and going to the beach and that type of thing. But it probably has now inspired them to go, you know what, we have to just go that little step extra to improve our fitness and our lifestyle, and to keep that motivation happening, we have to step outside our comfort zone a little bit. So the girls loved it and my husband loved it. It was great to have their support.
Well, it's amazing. And it's a common question or apprehension we get in the challenge where someone would sign up and they see the nutrition plan and then they turn to us and go, okay, that's nice. What are my family going to eat? And yeah, it's amazing to hear that your family got involved, especially your children, especially the one who was a little bit of a fussy eater. And I think sometimes we get this perception that when we go on a quotation diet, when we go on a diet, especially a challenge diet, it's going to be something that's really bland. It's going to be the classic chicken and broccoli and maybe some rice if you're lucky. And, you know, you need to cut out all the good things in life and basically starve yourself and eat really plain food for 12 weeks. And as you suggested, that's not the case, right? And we like to base the challenge around whole foods, whole fruits and vegetables, and invite you to utilize lots of fresh herbs and spices and all these flavors of life. And you can start to create amazing meals with some portion control, with some restriction, and be like, okay, maybe I'll have one serving, not three, or maybe I'll have just like a handful, not like the entire thing, right? But it's amazing to hear that you had the family in the kitchen helping you and getting involved, because I wonder how big of an impact you made for your children now, especially as a teenager, exposing them to these foods and these good relationships with food, right? Saying, hey, I can lose weight, I can manage my body composition while eating these amazing foods, as opposed to a different path that so many people go down where they think, oh, I need to do this detox and this smoothie cleanse, or I need to starve myself for a while to manage my weight, or whatever thing is popular at the moment. But if we look back at just the principles that work, it is, you know, good whole foods, whole fruits and vegetables, portion control, energy control, and then making food an experience again, right? Because sometimes we lose touch with food where we just look at it purely as energy and shovel it in our mouth and off we go. Whereas if you're there chopping the food, looking at the taste and going, hey, this is now an experience again, that changes everything. And especially for that younger generation moving forward, they're going to live a very different lifestyle. So if anything, I thank you for doing that to your, we can all be healthy by eating these good foods, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So that's...
Now, Monique, I guess you've already spoken quite a bit about challenges, but that's my next question, is talking about some of the challenges that you may have faced. And the first thing I wanted to talk about was a little bit of your work environment. So can you speak a little bit about what your role was like? Was it mostly sedentary, working like admin at like a desk role, or were you actually traveling quite a bit to some of these rural areas in what you did? Can you speak about how active your job was?
Yeah, so my job has two sides to it. Pre-COVID, I was traveling a lot. Obviously, during COVID, not so much. But yeah, some weeks, look, I can be sitting down and doing a lot of admin type role. But other than that, I would be on the road visiting families, but still either sitting in a car or flying somewhere. So still not active. So my job wasn't and isn't a stand-up job where I might do my 10,000 steps in 2 hours just from my role. So it certainly isn't an active role.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when you said that you were like traveling quite a bit and then I guess training side of things, were you training at home or were you traveling to the gym as well?
No. So I live 15 minutes from the gym, and if I have to get in my car and drive to the gym and get there and do my thing and then drive home and then get the kids ready for school, it definitely wouldn't work. So I had to have something that I could do at home. And we set up a little gym in our spare room. So we've got a treadmill, an exercise bike and barbells. We've got a bench and yeah, some free weights and all that type of stuff. So I didn't have all the equipment like a gym had. So occasionally I would certainly come up to an exercise where it probably didn't fit in with what I could do at home. So I just got on Google and Googled an alternate exercise so I could do it at home. So I just then replaced that exercise with that. Being a parent, and any parent, everyone relates to this, that I've got teenage girls now, they have part-time jobs. So we're racing them here, we're racing them there. We've got acreage, so the maintenance of our acreage. We've got pets, we have a horse, we have to feed. We've got lots of different things that we have to be places and be somewhere. And of course, working as well is trying to fit that in. But time certainly was my struggle. I had to focus on myself though. If I was going to do this challenge properly, I needed to make myself a priority. And I think that's probably where a lot of mums let themselves down is. And that's why, you know, you end up in the way you are and the state of mind you are, because you don't make yourself a priority. So I had to figure out when I was going to make my hour, an hour and a half of every day, my hour. And it was getting up at 10 past four every morning, which was a bit of a struggle, but it was something I needed to do. And after about 2 or 3 weeks, actually my internal clock started getting me up at that time anyway. So I just had to give up my Netflix binge at nighttime so I could get into bed by about 8:30 and then get up at 4 o'clock. And I made sure that I set my intention for the next day. I think that's a big thing for people to do, is you might have a rough day and you might not achieve the things you wanted in that day, but tomorrow is always a fresh day. So I think you need to make sure that you go to bed with the intention of what you want to do and achieve that day. So if I knew I was tired and it was a struggle, I would go, okay, my intention is as soon as my alarm goes off, I'm actually going to get up and not hit snooze. Because if I hit snooze, I'll hit it again and hit again, and then I've wasted 15 minutes. So I'm going to set my intention to get out of bed at that time. My other intention might be, okay, I want to add an extra kilo to my weight. So I'm lifting a little bit more today. I feel a bit stronger. Or it could be simply as, I want to make sure I drink that extra half a litre of water today. So whatever your intention is, I needed to set that before I went to bed. And, you know, it takes 30 seconds. What do I want to achieve tomorrow before your head hits the pillow and you go to sleep? So that's sort of what I did. I got up at that 4 o'clock. I had my gym shoes, my outfit ready. I got changed straight away. I dived out of bed. I'm not a person that actually eats before exercise. So I'd have a drink of water and I'd head into my gym room and I would just, I'd start my gym routine. And then I'd get through that and then I would do my 10,000 steps on the treadmill. So I usually walked for an hour and a half, and I find treadmill walking really quite boring. So just staring at a wall. So I started actually listening to TEDx talks. So I don't know if people know about them, but I just found them amazing. And they're only 15 to 20 minutes long, and they're by amazing people, experts in their field, teachers, professors, medical people, all walks of life. And they talk about amazing topics, and any topic you want to know about, it's there being talked about on a TEDx talk. So I'd plug my earphones in and I'd just start listening to loads of different topics. And it was amazing where I went with it. I felt like it was educating me. I felt like I was getting more inspiration from others. It was a different experience. So not only was I exercising and working on my body, but I was also exercising and working on my brain. So it was powerful stuff.
I love that. I love that so much. TEDx, ideas worth sharing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of highlighted so many key principles about how we make change, right? And again, another common barrier that people speak to me about is I don't have time. I can't make time to exercise for an hour or half an hour or do my meal prep or whatever activity they're doing. And their barrier is, I just don't have time. And it's really easy to put your hands up in the air and go, hey, I don't have time. I guess I'm never going to be that fit guy because I don't have time, right? But I think at the end of the day, it's your choice, right? Or you use the word intention. It's your choice, your decision. And if you kind of rewind for a moment, you were making that decision to sit down and go through a Netflix binge, right? And that's fine. I mean, we all do it. I do it. I do it all the time. So that was your choice to stay up and watch Netflix. And then that choice of watching Netflix had the, consequence where you might not have gone to bed early. That means you weren't able to wake up early. So then you weren't able to exercise and then you didn't have time, right? Mm-hmm. Then you made that choice of going, hey, I'm going to cut out this time watching Netflix and put it towards something that I want, which is to transform my body, transform my health. And that choice of removing this one behavior and replacing it with another led to this snowball effect of you being able to really transform your body, right? And when you're saying things like, then went on my treadmill, some people choose to go on the treadmill and then do their Netflix binge, right? So they watch Netflix while they're spinning their legs, going for a walk, because we're just expending energy by doing these steady state movements. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm similar to you. I despise walking on a treadmill. It's boring, right?
Yeah.
So for me, I choose to go walking outside, right? And whatever option you choose, it's no right or wrong. You could do either one. But I think the cool thing about on a treadmill is, you could just watch Netflix, or you could go through a process of mindfulness where you are educating yourself, let that be with a podcast like TEDx, or maybe this podcast that we're listening to now, yeah, or other lectures. If you're really interested in everything from, I don't know, car maintenance to Star Wars figurines or comic books, whatever you're interested in, you could digest information then while you're kind of multitasking. So it's a powerful time to think about going, hey, is this time just purely seen as wasted time, or is this time seen as time that I can have for me? Like you said, it's an hour where I can do what I want. And you may find that you're getting your body fit and healthy, but then you're also getting your mind fit and healthy. And then when you go to work, you're ready to go, right? You're high in energy, your brain's active, and you're like, great. So I guess the question to you is, when you were completing the challenge, did you notice any changes to maybe your productivity at work? So when you would wake up in the morning at 4 a.m., some people think, oh, geez, I would be so tired for the whole day. Can you speak a little bit about what follow-on effect that was? Like, were you tired throughout the day, or did you find that you were maybe full of energy and really active and really productive at work? Like, what was that like?
Definitely the first couple of weeks where I made these changes was a struggle. That's no lie. Exercising, my body was sore and ached in places that I didn't even think it would be sore and ache. I could hardly bend over and go to the toilet or sit on the lounge. It was painful. I hadn't exercised for 5 years, so it was a big change. And obviously, exercising those first few weeks, it was making me tired at work. So I'd hit the end of the day and I'd be really tired and yawning. But do you know what? As I came through it, and I reckon about week 3, week 4, I started becoming a lot more alert. My mind started becoming a lot more clearer. I felt like I could do and tackle a lot more things as well. And the energy started to come back. So I think it was also because of my diet change as well. I was a big person. I had a few bad habits. I was a big person that loved a glass of wine in the evenings and had those couple of rows of chocolate while sitting down watching TV. And the processed food started creeping into our house and we had biscuits and those sort of things. So combined all those things together. So I was detoxing and getting that stuff out of my system, the sugar and the alcohol and the new exercise and my new sleep routine, going to bed earlier and getting up at the crack of dawn and exercising. Yeah, it was a struggle for those first few weeks, but I certainly saw that turnaround. And by halfway through the challenge, I started feeling amazing. I started feeling fitter, healthier. I started seeing the changes in my body. I'm quite a hippie girl, so that's where most of my weight goes, is in my butt and in my hips. And, you know, I was putting on pants and they were starting to fall off me. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. So seeing the results also gives you that pick-me-up, and it also inspires you to keep going because what you're doing is working. And that's sort of how I felt throughout the whole journey towards the end. I just felt this amazing transformation in my mind as well, because I was feeling so much clearer and I was educating myself a little bit, and I felt that I was coming along in terms of my frame of my mindset, and also seeing those changes in my body. I just felt like this is great, this is working, and I just got to keep going. So my energy levels just kept increasing and I just started feeling on top of the world. And of course, people started noticing. So that was a really cool thing. People would start saying, oh my God, are you losing weight? Or, you know, what are you doing? You're looking so much younger. And so many people have commented on it. My husband said to me last night, I'm so proud of you. You look so much younger. You look so much healthier. And so for that to come from people you love, there's nothing more better, I guess. It's really inspiring. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Really, final question here is about advice. So if someone came to you and they were interested in getting fit and healthy, or they were about to start the challenge themselves, what advice would you give that person so that they can get the most out of their fitness journey?
Yeah. So, well, obviously, you know, being a first time challenger, I'd never thought that, you know, I'd be in the top 10. And that was not certainly what I was setting out to do. So, look, I think it's for anyone. You know, if you're in the middle of a remote country town and you have hardly any equipment, you have no gym, you have no facilities to sort of utilize in your town, you know, this program, Maxine's Challenge, is designed for everyone. And that's what I love about it, because you could be in the middle of nowhere and if you've got internet connection, you could just go for it. And I think that one of the most important things for anyone to believe is to believe in yourself. And, you know, it's your journey. It's no one else's. So, you know, I guess in the beginning when I was watching, you know, some of the Facebook pictures, you'd see these amazing women with beautiful muscles and you think, wow, like that's not me, or that's not what I'm wanting to achieve. But then I realized that they're on a different journey to me. You know, they may not need to lose weight. They might not need to focus on their mind because they might have already done 5 or 6 challenges. They've already been through my path or my journey. So I think that's the main thing, is that you need to remember that it's your own journey. Everyone's on their different paths and they're all trying to achieve different things, if it be weight loss or muscle gain or a competition that they want to go into. So keep focused on your own self. The main thing is definitely before you start the challenge is to take your temptations away. So completely get into your pantry, take all your processed food away. Take, you know, if you love cheese, take cheese out of the fridge. If you love wine, take wine out of the cupboard. Give it to your friends, you know, just take it away, because you will have those times where you'll have the cravings. And if it's in the cupboard, it's very tempting. You might go, okay, I'm just going to have that one chocolate. I'm just going to have that. But if it's not there, you don't get tempted by it. So I think that's probably, you know, one big thing. And also be kind to yourself. everyone needs to listen to their body and listen to who they are. But, you know, be kind to yourself. Don't beat yourself up if you have a bad day, if you do fall off the bandwagon. Tomorrow is a new day. And like I said before, you know, set those intentions for the next day and keep going. I did read a lot of people through the challenge that I did that they had an injury or they had to give up because of this or that. And some people, you know, were just giving up because they may have had a couple of bad days and they're like, oh, this isn't for me, and just throwing the towel in. Don't do that, you know. Just keep going and see how far you get. And just remember to be kind to yourself, because I think people beat themselves up too much. And probably the other thing is I tell people to do is picture your future self. You know, I knew I could look good. I knew I could feel happier. I knew I could feel healthier. And you just got to believe that that person is there in the future. And what would they say to you? You know, what would that future person go to you and go, you know, am I good enough? Am I this? Am I that? What have you achieved? You know, what is your future person going to say to you once you've got to the end of it? And you know what? If you've tried your best and you put the hard work in and the determination and you see the results, they are just going to thank you. So think of that future person.
I love it. That's the quality advice, Monique. Thank you so much. Look, let's wrap it up there. I want to thank you for donating your time to be part on the Challenge podcast. And I want to congratulate you on such an amazing result that you achieved over the Maxine's Challenge. You should be so proud of the effort that you put in. And, you know, I want to thank you, take a moment to thank you for being that inspiration and role model to not only your daughters, but the people that are around you in your inner circles and also within our online community. So Monique, thank you for being on the podcast and thank you for being you.
No, thank you, Steve. It was lovely being here. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.